One of the musicians in Michael Hollinger's new play, Opus, says, a string quartet is like a marriage, only with more fidelity. The play examines the inner workings of a long-running ensemble and the group's efforts to remain together after replacing one of its founding members. It's currently on stage at 59 East 59 Theaters, and I'm very pleased to welcome two members of the cast, Richard Topol and Mahira Kakkar, to my show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Richard, you play one of the founding members of the quartet, Alan, the second violinist. What did the playwright Michael Hollinger tell you about your character?
What did he tell me? I did the very first reading of this play with Michael at New Dramatists, which helps as a playwright's theater that helps develop plays, much the way Primary Stage is a theater that produces new plays. And he said he's the peacemaker. He's the guy who, you know, tries to get everybody to get along. He's the one in the family. I mean, if the quartet is like a family, he's the one who makes sure that everybody has what they need and nobody fights.
He has a degree in music. Do you know if he's actually played in a string quartet?
He did. He did. And that was his first, I think, his first love. And then he came to playwriting after. We had a lot of lessons and music practice during rehearsal, and Michael was right up there going, no, you want to hold it like this. He's very proficient. So
you actually have to move your fingers as though you're really playing the music.
We have to move our bow. We don't do the fingering, but we do the bowing. So we learned all about how to bow it and how to hold it, and it certainly made me want to learn how to play the violin, although I think that's for another lifetime.
Mahira, you play Grace, the young violist who comes in to replace one of the members who's been fired. Grace not only has to learn the music, but she also the music that the group plays, but also has to learn to function as a member of a group who have had a long history with each other. Were you able to draw on real life experiences to get into that character? Well, for example, I would imagine theater presents some of those things where you join a group, a company that's been together for a while, and suddenly you're the outsider who has to function as though you've been a member as long as everybody else.
Yes, that's correct. And I think that actually happened to me recently when I was doing a show with a rep company, and they've been together for a while, and I came in, and I think we had to get used to each other and find a way to work together.
In this case, Grace is also a young woman joining a group of middle-aged men.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to exclude her as much as possible early on in rehearsal, too. But we wouldn't have lunch with her.
No, that's not to true. Make her feel like
that's not true.
To get her into the role.
Sometimes as a young woman being amongst middle-aged men, it can be a very nice experience.
But not when you're playing the viola. The the fictional Lazara String Quartet has taken their name from a set of instruments that's been donated to them, made by a famous violin maker named Lazara. I guess that's like the Guarneri or something. But this quartet's history is closer to another group, the Audubon String Quartet. They wound up in court after firing one of their members. Do you think that was Michael's inspiration?
Michael drew on both, I think, the Audubon Quartet and the Guarneri Quartet when writing this play. Wouldn't you say that, Rich?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was something inherently dramatic and, I think, frightening about what happened with the Audubon, because they were this close-knit group who were together forever and then, you know, exploded. Mm-hmm. And I think he saw something valuable in taking that as a jumping-off point.
We started by playing Beethoven's Opus 131 by the Takacs String Quartet, and when the Takacs came to the United States, we had the original four members here, and they performed for us. And then a year later, one left, and then Mr. Takacs died, and now the Takacs String Quartet has only two of its original members, and yet they've had to maintain the sound that defines their approach to music.
Right.
The play opens with the four original members talking about what it's like to be part of a quartet, and they quote a teacher who told them they should sound like four instruments played with one bow. How does that translate into performing the play's lines?
Wow. You want to take that one?
No.
All right. It's interesting. I mean, the four men have one dressing room, and Ma has another dressing room, and we We tune up. I mean, we really do tune up into sort of finding a rhythm together. And Terry Nolan, the director, and our fabulous stage managers, you know, did a good job of cracking the whip in terms of keeping us sort of breathing together, learning how to breathe together. And in that scene, for instance, we're not even looking at each other. We're looking out at the audience as if speaking to a documentary maker. And so we have to sort of just kind of feel, you know, all the tentacles, all the senses alive to each other.
Well, many actors have told me that part of the fun of acting with other people is that you're never sure exactly how the line the other person is going to do is delivered. But at the same time, you have to always make it sound like this is just the way it is.
The first time, right. Yeah.
And I would think that happens with string quartets, too, although string quartets have to work very hard to achieve some kind of a consistency.
Right.
But it's going to be different every night.
Yeah, I mean, I think the exciting thing is to be able to be there and hope that you don't know what's coming, mm-hmm. you know. And I think we were all pushed in that direction by the writer and the director to make sure that we would stay alive to really listening, so that I'm really listening to you now, because I don't really know what you're going to say. I have some sort of idea, and to really trust that the writing is there, so that when you send me the ball, I can send it back or send it to Ma in a way that...
That every night it sounds like it's the first time you
right.
thought of it.
Yeah. Right. But now, it's like turning a double play.
Can you, Mahira, explain the basic premise? Why are you auditioning for the string quartet?
Well, in the play, you find out that the person who has taught Grace Krensky is the same person who has taught the four original members of the Lazara Quartet, because they've all been to Curtis. And
in Philadelphia.
Yes, in Philadelphia. And he has told Grace, she's right out of Curtis, he's told her, well, you know, go and play with them. That's what I imagine him to have said. It's not explicitly mentioned in the play, but he says, oh, go play with them. And she, I don't think she quite realizes that it's an audition situation until she's finished playing.
Well, she's being given this audition, Richard, because one of the original members is having serious problems.
Yeah, he's missing in action. And I think you learn, it's not giving away too much. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn later on that he and one and the first violinist were in a relationship, and it sort of adversely affected the playing, or the playing adversely affected the relationship, and he was basically fired and let go, and has sort of disappeared. And they have to play a concert for the president, for the White House, for some sort of state dinner or in a week, and they need to have a quartet. They need to have their fourth for the quartet, and they can't find him. And so they want to snatch her up because she's incredibly brilliant.
Well, she comes to audition. The others immediately pressure her to accept the job, although she has an audition scheduled with the Pittsburgh Orchestra. Now, I don't know if you've thought much about this. I don't know how much you think about the background of your character, but what would be the advantages or disadvantages of one over the other?
Dental insurance.
The Pittsburgh would give dental insurance.
Well, it's
security, right?
It's security. It's a steady job. There's all sorts of things that go with having a steady job, where you're not going from gig to gig to gig.
It's almost like the difference between doing a TV series or an off-Broadway play.
Yes.
Sure.
Pretty
or
much.
Like a season of plays at a theater where you're part of a rep company, right. And you know you're going to get a certain number of roles each year.
And Grace actually asks if they have health insurance.
She does, and she asks if they have dental insurance.
And we do.
And they do.
I think that's one.
Because
of
this is one of the established groups. They're probably a less established string quartet might very well be more like a freelance group.
Right, right. These guys are more like, I don't know, the present day, maybe Emerson String Quartet, you know, and they just played 2 weeks at Carnegie Hall. And they talk about, playing at Carnegie Hall, and we play all over the world. And so we know we're going to have a stream of income and performances, you know.
Yeah.
My guests are two members of the cast of a new play called Opus that's at, how do you say, 59E 59 Theaters? Or
59 East 59th.
Richard Topol and Mahira Kakkar. The play Opus is by Michael Hollinger. I'm reminded that Arnold Steinhardt was here, and he talked about how when one of the Guarneri's original members left, people were shocked.
David Sawyer, the cellist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a string quartet that is famous as for its four members would face that same problem. Suddenly, you're going to show up, your character's going to show up, and people are going to say, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is another kind of a pressure.
Yes. Yes, I think in the Guarneri's case it was different because David Sawyer was, I think, wanted to retire. I think he was...
right, he didn't have a mental breakdown.
No, I think he was sick of the touring, and they actually hired his student. In this case, I think, it's exciting and also scary to have a new member.
But there's the other side, which is that you have these four people who have to somehow tolerate each other because they're very different personality types. And I've always wondered about baseball teams where there are 25 and you still know that there are two people who are so obnoxious that everybody else hates them, and yet they may very well be really invaluable when they're out on the field. With a string quartet, you have these four guys that we learn about. Alan is divorced. Elliot and Dorian were lovers for years. Carl is a family man and a cancer survivor. One of them is kind of Elliot's kind of high-strung and demanding, and then there's somebody else who's more accommodating. Your character's more accommodating. And somehow they have to all learn to live with each other because they depend on and play perfectly with each other because they depend on each other for their sustenance.
Well, that's one of the things I think that's really interesting about the play is that they all want to make great music. And so the scenes that are about the making of the music are so exciting because there's an underlying thrill that they all feel but towards, you know, like, okay, we're going to play Opus 131 and we're gonna kick its ass.
It's a particularly difficult piece as well.
Right. Yeah.
And so we see them practicing this and arguing over how different sections should be played.
Right. But then there's the whole other thing about the family. You know, it's a group of four who have to stay together, and somebody's got to, you know, organize the traveling, and somebody's got to, you know, do this. And like any sort of family, it's like, how do you resolve your struggles that inevitably you're going to have?
Well, again, this I keep on making analogies to acting. But I'd imagine that there are certain similarities when people are rehearsing a play and somebody interprets it in a way that the others feel is not working or the director says is not working.
Yeah, yeah. I was joking with Ma beforehand that we all get along really well. In a way, we leave the drama to onstage because we've had a really great time working together. That's actually helped make the play work so well.
Yeah.
In this case, of course, the playwright is around and he can offer his opinions. Beethoven isn't around to say, no, I really think you should play that passage a little softer and a little slower.
Yeah, yeah.
Shakespeare, I always wonder what Shakespeare would think about some of the interpretations of his plays. What are you doing to me?
Jeez, no, don't do it like that. Well, Michael had a couple of those in rehearsal. No, well, not quite like that, but it was really, really helpful to have him around because I think he was really happy with the cast, so I don't think he was like, no, that's a completely wrong interpretation. But he did have some great insights to how it works.
And for authenticity, you play along with recorded music by the Vertigo String Quartet, and they all come out of Curtis as well, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how much have you learned about music in the process of doing this? I mean, you said, Richard, that you'd kind of like to learn how to play violin now, but does this give you insight when you're listening to a string quartet?
Insight? Well, I guess one of the things I have learned is that looking at the music, I mean, we have the music on stands in front of us and for a number of the scenes, and I look at the music and I now look at it the way I look at a script. You know, whereas before I just sort of seemed like a lot of notes organized in some way that might make music. And now I look at it and say, oh, I see. I understand the notations. I understand, okay, this is where it goes fast. This is where it builds to a climax.
You can actually see it in the way that the music is written.
and so get a sense of how it can fit in your body and how you can, you know, make it come out through an instrument.
Do you follow the music as well, Mahira, as your...
I do.
Because you, even though you're not really playing it?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it really helps. Yeah.
And you do have gained all sorts of insight into the other problems of string quartets and health insurance and the like.
Yes, all of that good stuff.
If listeners would like more information about the production or find out how they can buy tickets, they can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We're going to go out with a little more music. And my great thanks to two of the members of the cast of Opus, Michael Hollinger's new play, which is at 59 East 59 Theaters, Richard Topol, Mahira Kakkar. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having us. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that we're only running right now through September 1st.
Oh, yes.
So for
I
those listening who want to come.
And is that going to happen? It's over after that?
Well, from your mouth to God's ears and some producers' ears, I mean, there's a chance that we could move it. But at this point, we are scheduled to close September 1st because the next play, Horton Foote's play that Primer Stage is producing, is going to open or start previews 2 weeks later in the same theater. So.